Good afternoon, folks. My name is Craig, and this is the Over the Fence show here on Ragland Community Radio 98.1 FM, and also going over to our friends on Free FM 89.0, coming out of the Tron, going throughout the Waikato, and a beautiful day in the Waikato it is today, too. And on the show today, we're going to be talking to Tim Franson, who is the chairperson of the Organic Dairy and Pastoral Group. So we're doing that pretty soon. I'll probably do some weather on that probably first, and then after that, if we get time, I'll do some gardening to-dos and things like that, and maybe some, but we'll see how the show progresses anyway. But in the meantime, I'll come back with the weather after this one, but here goes, it was Paddy's Day on Sunday, so here goes a young Irish singer called Murianne Bradley playing Delia live. I hope you enjoy this one.
Thanks. Oh, I'm really excited to be here tonight. This is my first time ever performing in London live. The next song I'm going to do is also by Reverend Gary Davis, but it was never recorded. His students, Stephen Grossman and Roy Bookbinder recorded it, and that's mostly where I learned it from. This is called Delia.
Folks, that was Murianne Bradley playing a song, Delia there, the extremely talented and great singer and guitarist, isn't she? So I hope you enjoyed that one, music lovers. And now we're going to do some weather here on the Over the Fence show. And today, being Wednesday, March the 20th, is indeed the autumn equinox for the year. And at precisely 4:06 this afternoon, a daytime and nighttime are nearly equal length globally. And in the weeks ahead, the nights become longer, while the days shorter, as the southern hemisphere, of course, heads toward winter, and the opposite goes on in the northern hemisphere. Otherwise, what else going to bring you? High pressure remains over much New Zealand today, but the centre is now tracking east of the mainland and will continue to drift away, allowing a small low to form near the South Island tomorrow night, bringing some western and central rain. The low isn't very big, but it may bring some wet weather to drier parts of New Zealand, which I'm sure will be welcomed. Yeah, I've heard a few people talking about how dry it's getting in that around the place at the moment already, so that's kind of interesting. And in some regions, rainfall is a bit borderline due to the mountains and the ranges breaking up the fairly weak rain clouds, so it doesn't look like there's going to be heavy downpours, and yeah, just a wee low, and there's sort of a ridge kind of out over Tasmania, heading south, and so yeah, pretty settled weather, and it's been a lovely week, hasn't it, folks? These were some of my favourite days, you know, nice cool in the morning, and then beautiful sunny days, and then cool again in the evening. It's all good with me. And so, what else? Oh, weather-wise, that's right. This week, what can we expect in the Waikato? Let's have a look at this one. It's going to be pretty much what you see is what you get today and tomorrow. Friday is getting cloudier. Saturday might be a little bit of rain. Not much, though, about 3 mils or something like that. Sunday is going to be cloudy, then showery, possibly Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday next week. But again, not heaps of rain. Daytime temperatures is 18 today. Then pretty much between 19 and 21 for the rest of the week. And nighttime temperatures 10 degrees tonight. And then 11 tomorrow, then 15, 14, 15, 16, 16, 13 for the rest of the week. So, yeah, coldest night tonight, but, yeah, all pretty much of the much. And the winds, south-southwesterly today and tomorrow. Then northerlies, then west-northwesterly Saturday. South-westerlies Sunday, westerlies into early next week. So there's a little bit of rain for you. The humidity today is 52%. And the sun rose this morning at 7:24 and will set at 7:34 this evening. And the length of visible light is 13 hours and 2 minutes, and the actual day length is 12 hours and 9 minutes. And tomorrow will be 2 minutes and 27 seconds shorter than tomorrow. And the beautiful moon, yes, I've seen it in the early evenings, pretty much straight to the north, and that will rise at 5:22 this afternoon and set at 2 o'clock in the morning, and it's a waxing gibbous moon, 77% illuminated at the moment. So there we are, folks. That's a bit of a weather wrap-up for you. And now I'm going to play another song here. Where was I? Oh, yeah, this one. It's called... I played it once quite a few weeks ago, but I'll play it again because someone asked for it. It is by Nell Smith and the Flaming Lips, originally a Nick Cave song. It's called The Ship Song. Hope you enjoy it. All right, that was Nell Smith and the Flaming Lips there with Nick Cave's song, The Ship Song. I hope you enjoyed that. And I'm going to play one more song now, and then I'm going to come back after this one with our guests for today, Tim Franson from the Organic Dairy and Pastoral Group. In just a moment, I'm just going to, while I ring him up and get things teed up, here goes the Sneaky Feelings song called Pity's Sake. Hope you enjoy it. And there we are, folks. That was a Sneaky Feelings there. Good to Eden Band, weren't they? For pity's sake. And now on the phone, we are joined by today's guest, Tim Franson. How you going, Tim?
Yeah, good. Thanks, Craig.
Hear me all right?
Yeah. Yep.
Excellent. And where are you today, Tim?
Yeah, I'm actually out at a field day being run by Organic Ag out in Kiki. Yeah.
Okay. How many blokes you got there? That'll be Bill Quinn, no doubt. Or I was just down Taranaki at one of his gigs a few weeks ago.
Yes. So Bill Quinn runs it. And then, yeah, there's a couple of other farmers here, as well as the host, Sue and Deuce Graham. Yeah.
Yeah, right on. And Kiki, it's not far from your home patch of Te Awamutu?
Yeah, so it's 10 minutes up the road from our farm.
Nice.
We graze our animals here and buy the silage from it. Yeah,
right on. Okay, so I guess we'll talk a little bit about yourself first. But yeah, once again, folks, Tim Franson is the chairperson of the Organic Dairy and Pastoral Group, and we'll talk about that very shortly. Yeah, but I'll say straight away that there's a conference coming up down in Havelock North, isn't it, Tim?
Correct. Yeah, fifth and sixth of April.
5th and 6th of April. So a couple of weeks away. So just keep that in mind, folks. But I guess firstly, Tim, tell us a little bit about yourself and when you got into farming and that sort of thing.
Yeah, so, my wife and I have been farming for 15 years now. And when we bought our farm 10 years ago, we were farming conventionally, and about 7.5 years ago, we started the transition to organics.
Right, is this on the same property, Tim?
Yeah, on the same property, yeah, at Te Kawa, yeah.
Yeah, okay. And so for 7 years you were doing the so-called conventional style. And what kind of made you think to yourself, well, maybe there's another way to go about this sort of operation?
Yeah, well, for us it was about what we were practicing at home and stuff with children and ourselves, trying to eat healthy and look after ourselves, and then on farm, the funny side of it, the wife hated the spray tractor driving past up the driveway, and she'd comment, "What's that doing here?" And what do you know?
Yeah.
And it got us talking about our practices on land and what we were doing. A paper, a magazine come across out of the mail, and it was when Fonterra was starting up the organics program, promoting that again. Mm. And the payout associated with it when they changed it all.
Mm.
And we're like, well, this is looks like they're going to pay us, and have a separate payout for the organics. So maybe it's something that we can look into and see that it's actually viable for our business, because for being new farm owners and new to the industry, we had to make sense business-wise for our books.
For sure.
It wasn't an easy decision, but on the money side of it, but we did the sums, and it seems to be working out. So we've been certified. This is our third season.
Yeah, well done. Yeah, no, there's going to be another question of mine. Whether it's actually profitable organic dairy farming, but you've already answered that one. So. And when you guys first started thinking about it, who'd you sort of turn to and get inspiration from as how to transition that way?
Yeah, well, we're very lucky. A lot of people would know the founder of HFS, Tenneker Vercati. I think that's his surname.
Yeah.
She founded HFS, the Homeopathy Farm Support Office, and she's a family friend of my wife's.
Ah, sweet.
And she started talking to us, and then she steered us in the direction of Bill Quinn and then Organic Ag, and we started going along to some of his groups, and I sent my wife along to a couple of just to make sure that she was happy.
Yeah.
My wife Sandy, and she come back from one day in one group, and she's like, "Yep, the farm looks amazing, and let's do this." So
excellent.
That was all I needed.
All right. And the actual process of transitioning, I mean, how'd you kind of go about that one? Because I know that's one of the biggest hurdles for a lot of people between thinking about it and actually doing it is, what are we going to have to change, and, is it going to work in the meantime sort of thing?
Yeah, and that's kind of why we started going to the discussion groups and seeing other farms before we started the transition, so we knew what we were up for.
Mm.
And Fonterra, if you sign up a contract to convert to organics, the organics program actually helps out the new conversion, so you get paid. I'm not sure what it is at the moment, but you sign a contract, and they help financially as well, so there's a little bit of financial help.
Okay.
And in those first few years before you certified. And I guess that's kind of why I joined ODFG, because I wanted to keep, I want to set up a, kind of like a mentoring thing for new farmers that are converting, because that's how, that's what helped us.
Yeah.
And make it easier, you know, to have a friend up the road or not far away that you can ring and say, oh, what do I do about this, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Someone that's been doing it already and done, gone through that transition that can give you tips and stuff. Because it does seem a bit daunting. And a lot of, even speaking to some farmers today, they're like, oh, we would be organic, but it's too much paperwork. It's too, you know. So,
yes, I've heard that complaint so many times. Okay, well, that's interesting. So how long has the Organic Dairy and Pastoral Group been going, Tim?
That's a good question. I think it's been going, oh, I saw the figure, I saw the date the other day and I can't remember now.
I should probably look it up on the website while I'm chatting here. It's been going a while anyway, right?
Quite a while, yes. Yeah. I've only been a member for probably 3 years, so
Right. And, okay, so and you were joined 3 years ago. And how many people around you would be also involved with the group, off the top of your head?
So last year we had up to 100, over 100 members, just over 100 members.
Oh, right on.
130. Yeah. This year we're still signing, well, we've just finished our early bird pricing for membership.
Yep.
So we're looking for more members to sign up to be a part of it. A big, one of the big parts of being part of the group has been on a, what we call the gaggle mail, where it's, an email goes out to all the group, and you can ask questions. It's only between farmers, so no influence from salespeople.
Good. That's where it should be.
Yeah, so it's farmer-to-farmer discussion. You know, if you have a question on farm, you can just put it on there, you know, animal health-wise or pasture-wise or anything to do with organics or anything really goes on there.
It is
moderated, so if you get too far out of the box, you'll be cut. And that's really helpful because it goes to all our members, so yeah. And that part of that fee helps pay for that. And that's a big, so it's a big network.
Yeah, because I guess, that'd be one of the great things about actually going sort of organic, I'd imagine, is, less little voices in your ear telling you to spend money with this crowd and that crowd and do this, do that, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it's quite a, I have an organic sign on my gate that says to ring, to call me before you come on farm if you're not invited type thing. And it gets rid of quite a few salespeople. It's quite handy.
Yeah, nice. Yeah.
So turn in the gate and have to turn out again.
Yeah, that's a good way to do it. Yeah, all right. Yeah. And so what, you joined up, 3 years ago to the ODPG? And you're a chair straight away. Whew.
Oh, yeah, that's, I mean, someone has to do the job, right? Not a lot to that, but yeah, I mean, I'm just leaving, trying to lead the team. We got, we're looking for new committee members at the AGM, which will be held at our conference.
Yep.
Because we've got two retiring.
Okay.
Sam Hogg, he's been a member for, he's been on the committee for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just at the moment, we've got quite a new committee, so we're going through, we're still trying to get our feet under the table a bit to figure out what, where we're going and what we're doing.
Yep.
So not a lot's been happening too much, but we're trying to get some stuff happening.
I mean, it takes time, all these things, right, eh? You know, to straighten things out and that sort of thing. Just checking out, there's some very nice website too, by the way, website.
We try and make it, when it was designed, was before I was around, but it's great, they've made it easy to find stuff,
Oh, for sure, New Zealand's network of organic, regenerative and biological producers in the dairy, sheep, beef and general pastoral industries.
The one,
Where did I see somewhere else? I was looking at this morning. Yeah, welcome and encourage anyone interested in organic, regenerative and biological pastoral farming. Yep. So it's a pretty open door sort of outfit, eh?
Yeah. I mean, it's trying to group together like-minded farmers along those lines, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And what percentage of the group would you say are kind of dairy and what percentage are kind of doing other things off the top of your head, Tim?
That's a good question. I haven't actually looked into those numbers exactly. So I'd say it's probably a bit of both, half and half, really. Dairy support as well as dairy farmers as well as sheep and beef. So good, and I guess the membership's still building for this year, so it'd be interesting to see where those numbers end up.
I suppose it's kind of similar, but you know, I mean, every sort of different style of farming would take different sort of organic techniques and practices to pull off, I suppose, wouldn't they?
Correct. Yeah, and every farm's different, so I guess that's where it's helpful. You can go and look at or talk to other people on farm and see what they're up to and apply some things to where it might fit into your system. Like you say, not everything fits. You can't just take everything and say, oh, that'll work at my place. It's about pulling ideas from everywhere and making them fit your system and your where you want to head. Yeah,
definitely. And that for me is one of the main differences between your biological and organic sort of style as opposed to the conventional one. It's like a boom, do this, the advisor will say do this. Yes. You know, it's very sort of one size fits all, but of course, you know, they just see it's different land, different, you know, everything, right? And so tell us a little bit about the conference coming up on the 5th of April to Saturday, the 6th of April. Tim?
It should be really good. I'm looking forward to it. Down at Havelock North at the Event Centre.
Very nice.
Yeah, so we got a field day trip. And we had two dinners. So this year we're trying to concentrate more on farmer discussion, unless it's not as jam-packed with talks as it has been in the past. And that's why we decided to have it over two dinners, so there's more interaction between farmers. More downtime just to get, because it... Yeah, that's something we took feedback from some of the other conferences. And we got that the field day out at John Camp, one of John Camp's farms, being leased by one of our committee members.
Right.
Phyllis Kitchen's going to do a animal health discussion out there, and the scientist that's been doing some work. He's going to do a talk as well.
Okay. Right on. Oh, well, sounds. And can anyone gotten too long for that, Tim? Or
yeah, anyone can come. Yep. So on the website there, you can join up. You can buy tickets there. It should be a really good couple of days.
And if someone wants to be become a member of the ODPG, what's the best way to go about that one, Tim?
The easiest way is on the website, or it's all on the homepage there. You can click on it and it takes you through. It's pretty simple, really.
Farm membership, commercial membership as well for that sort of thing.
We've got commercial members that can sign up, and then we have on the Gaggle page, we have a time when they can advertise all their products and send it all out to the farmers in the group. So it's kind of like a nice incentive for them.
I see a few of them down the side of your thing there. Chaos Springs, Hugh Mates, Hydro, Roots, Shoots and Fruits. I've even heard of half these crowds.
Plenty
of things like that. Sweet as. All right. Okay. Well, that's... So that's, don't forget, folks, if you want to head along to that one, anyone's welcome. The conference is on the 5th of April, Friday 5th of April, and Saturday 6th of April. So you can get along to that one. And what else was I going to say? Oh, yeah, and so during the year, I guess you do, the ODPG would do, farm tours and little events and other little get-togethers and that reasonably regularly, Tim, would they?
Yeah, well, we haven't had any last year, just trying to, with the changeover and trying to get our feet under the desk. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, that is the aim, and I guess it's trying to find a window on farm as well with everybody. There's a few different groups out there, so it's trying to fit it in, make it work. We're hoping to host some after the conference, and
right on.
Get people together.
Absolutely. Yep. No, okay, so that's the Organic Dairy and Pastoral Group. There, folks, you've just joined us too. We're talking to Tim Franson, who's the chairperson of the Organic Dairy and Pastoral Group, or the ODPG. But there's a lot of other stuff going on around at the moment, Tim, that I'd like to have a little chat about. Things like the Organic Products Bill, which was that last year? Got finally sort of passed? Yeah.
Yeah, so that got rushed through Parliament 2 weeks before the election.
Oh, right. Was it like that, was it?
Yeah.
And what do you and the organisation make about it?
So we haven't... We discussed as an organisation putting something in, and we didn't in the end. But we encouraged our farmers to have their say and to look into it to see where it would affect them. Mm. There's lots of different points of view out there.
Yes.
But, yeah, I mean... From my personal point of view, for our system, the way it was being run before this we didn't have a problem with it. Mm. We have one audit a year, one day a year that's audit day, and okay, it's a full day and it's quite full on, but and that's it. So, yeah, I didn't see a need to spend a whole lot of money, but and a whole lot of more paperwork. And yes, it's very interesting to see what's coming out and where it will head.
And so, in a nutshell, what's it kind of? What's kind of the purpose of it, and what's going to be the actual kind of results from it? The expected results, should we say?
Well, they're hoping that New Zealand will then, because at the moment New Zealand doesn't have its own organic standards. We use whichever markets we go into, that's what standards we apply to.
Yep.
So we don't actually have, New Zealand doesn't have its own organic standard.
Mm.
And so the aim, so we've been told, is to, so that New Zealand has its own standard and can then go to the markets and say, this is where we're at. And put it across, this is our organic standard. So, and then also having rules around the sale of organic products. If you're going to put a naming organic, has to be certified to be New Zealand standards, whereas at the moment there's not a lot of rules and regulations around there's not one standard in the country.
So yeah, yeah.
If you see organic, you're not sure what it is.
Yeah, yeah.
Unless you really, most of them have in their fine detail, but a lot of people don't realise that it's not all to the same standard.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And what currently there's three different, was it two or three different certifiers you can go through?
Yeah, so with the dairy side and pastoral side, there's Sure Quality and BioGrow, who are overseen by MPI.
And is that going to change at all? They're going to merge that into one crowd, or
there's no real. They've said that they'll stay doing it, but it could quite possibly be that there could be one. We don't really know.
It
all depends on where they're going to push it and what's going to happen. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So still,
they tell us that it's not going to change much, but when you got people in, you never really know.
Yeah. Well, that's it. There's many, many unknowns. Especially with this new government and that. One of them being, of course, GMO and the GE sort of things being raised pretty hectically once more. I don't know. What's your thoughts on that one, Tim?
Yeah. Well, I know on that one, I can speak on behalf of the organisation that would be against it.
Yep.
Definitely. Because that may have a major impact on our organic farms, in that across the fence we've got a GMO farmer who's, for example, whose seeds can come over and onto our property. So then there's a whole lot of unknowns and things about that, let alone all the... I mean, you only have to look overseas to see that GMO doesn't work in America and all the problems that it brings with it.
Yeah.
And this is so under the radar that I didn't even know about it until a couple of days ago that they were trying to bring it through. I'd heard rumours, but I hadn't heard that they were pushing it again. So that's how much under the radar it is.
Yeah, it's all been done very very much like that. Yeah, I heard about it a few weeks ago. I got sent actually one article. I think it's Judith Collins is part of the group looking at it or something like
She's
that.
Behind
and,
it, yep.
Yeah, but it's all very it's all very hush at the moment, which is always frightening.
That's the worry.
So
and there's this whole perception that GMO is the answer, which is crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, New Zealand is that's one of our biggest advantages overseas in our markets is that. We haven't gone down that track of GMO, and the world from where the people I talk to overseas, I've got contacts overseas, and they're like organics, and even if you look to Europe and that, they're getting rid of these things. So New Zealand's like, oh, we want to.
Yeah,
just doesn't make sense.
No, I think I feel like that too. I mean, there's other ways you can go about it, right? Instead of trying to, gene design crops for, there's just other ways, pasture diversity, and things like that all organic farmers like yourself practice constantly anyway, right?
And I mean, it's a bigger concern for organic farmers, like I said, because there's the possibility of contaminating. From our neighbours, contamination, cross-contamination from seeding and whatever from our neighbours. So, that's another thing.
Oh, for sure, yeah. And, it's kind of, once you let the genie out of the bottle, how far is it going to go kind of thing, isn't it, Yeah.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'll better let you get back to your hooey, Tim. But thanks very much for joining the show. Really appreciate it. And we'll keep in touch. And I might even get you back on... as time goes by, but the conference is on the 5th of April and the 6th of April down in Havelock North.
Yeah.
Anyone can cruise along with that. Any sort of last words you want to say, Tim, to the listeners?
Oh, yeah, we decided to have the conference. We were meant to have it down there last year, but then the cyclone hit, so we thought we'd go back again this year and then support the locals down there, we'll be heading to the local pub afterwards to support them on the way home from our field day.
Nice. Yeah. Nah, yeah, from what I hear, they're still, still struggling away down there with the after effects of that and all that. Yeah, so,
So I encourage people to get along. And one of my things with the group is to try and, like I said, start up farmer interaction for new people joining organics. And, so it's part of the getting along to the conference is how we can. It's a good start to that.
Very good advice, Tim. Again, really appreciate you coming on and thanks for your time. And we'll keep in touch and say hi to Bill for me.
Yeah, we'll do.
And thanks, enjoy your day. And catch up again.
We'll be in touch.
Yeah, cool.
Thanks very much for having me.
Thanks very much, Tim. Appreciate it.
Okay.
See you, mate.
Cheers.
Bye.
See ya.
There we are, folks. That was Tim Franson, the chairperson of the Organic Dairy and Pastoral Group. Yeah, interesting organisation. Yeah, beautiful website. So go check that out if you're interested in this sort of thing. And, yeah, some really interesting people involved with that one. All right. And now I'm going to play for Mike up the Community House, a song by the Sisters of Mercy called This Corrosion. Nearly 10 minutes long, Mike. Am I going to play the whole thing?
Oh, tickets to sleep.
All right, folks, here we are. That was nearly 7 minutes of This Corrosion by the Sisters of Mercy. Hope you liked that. Up there, Mike at the Community House, hope you enjoyed that. And I know Aaron's a fan of that band. And also Paul from the Fabulous Friday Freak Zone was just in here before, and he's also into the Sisters of Mercy. So there we are. Hope you enjoyed that, everyone. And Sue, who was with Paul, was inquiring about what flowers and that to plant, so I'll bring some gardening to-dos to you here today. And there's a few flowers in there, Sue, now look at it, but I might have to see if there's actually a specific flower one for you. But anyway, I'll rip through what I've got here anyway, and it's amaranth, also poetically named Love Lies Bleeding, beetroot, broad beans, broccoli, Brussels sprouts, burdock, cabbage, carrot, cauliflower, chives, collards, dill, endive, Florence fennel, kale, kohlrabi, leeks, lettuce, mizuno, mustard greens, oregano, bok choy, parsley, radish, rocket, rutabaga, salsify, shallots, and silver beet. So there's a few of those sort of ones, and there's a bunch more here I'll get through as well. Might be a couple of double ups, but here goes. At least some apricot, beetroot, blueberries, bok choy, broccoli, Brussels sprouts, cabbage, calendula, carrots, cauliflower, celery, chrysanthemum, coriander, cyclamen, daffodils, daisies, delphiniums, dianthus, feijoas, forget-me-nots, hyacinth, impatiens, kale, lavender, leeks, lemons, lettuce, limes, mandarins, marigold, mesclun, onions, oranges, pansy, viola, parsley, poppy, radish, rhubarb, rocket, silver beet, snapdragon, spinach, spring onion, sweet pea, and tulip. So there's actually quite a few flowers in there now. I actually have a proper look at it, so... There we are, folks. That's all things you can continue on in the garden this month. Alrighty. So I'm going to play for you a song now that we were talking about yesterday with Aaron and Mike and that Stone Temple Pilots, and this one's called Vaseline. fucks that was. The Stone Temple Pilots there with Vaseline. Hope you enjoyed that one out there. And getting pretty near the end of the show now. I was going to go, there's quite a few primary sector headlines I wanted to bring you, but I'm kind of running out of time for that. But yeah, there's a lot of talk about drought and, you know, fish dying down Canterbury and heaps of stuff like that. And but yeah, I've kind of run out of time for that. But so next week, hopefully, you'll be able to get all that stuff. And so, once again, I'd like to thank Tim Franson from the Organic Dairy and Pastoral Group for his time today on the show. And don't forget, yeah, their conference is on the 5th of April to the 6th of April down in Havelock North. Good opportunity to help out the locals down there, still struggling, but with the aftermath of the cyclones and things like that. And, yes, anytime you want to get a hold of me, you can go to Facebook Over the Fence Podcast or send me an email, overthefenceradioshow@gmail.com. Any sort of feedback, good, bad, otherwise, I'm not really too worried about it. So, yep, ways to get a hold of me. And you can hear the show, of course, live on at 12:30, from 12:30-ish at 98.1 FM. Then later on, I think today, on Free FM, I think it's 4:30 or something over there, our friends over there on 89.0, or live stream from anywhere in the world. And, of course, most of my shows, or pretty much all of them, are on the podcast as well. Podcasts. It's on Spotify and Apple Play, or Apple Podcasts, and heaps of podcasting things like that. And plus, in the archives are all the old shows. So, lots of ways you can listen to the show. And I hope you enjoyed it, folks. Have a great day out there. Enjoy the next sunny few days. Beautiful weather, and ka kite, folks. I'm going to go with this one by the Tall Dwarfs called "The Slide." Hope you enjoy it. See you next week. Peaceful is our